Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring breaking beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hey, Jill.
How are you?
I sound like a monster from Sesame Street, and yeah.
You kind of sound like one of the sisters from Simpsons, like one of Marge Simpson's, like Patty and Selma, I think their names were.
Oh, yeah. I just need to take a big drag off of a cigarette.
Yeah.
We love to smoke. 17 packs a day.
What? No, it's not that kind of like sexy, raspy voice, though. It's more like just all in my nose. So it's terrible. I apologize, but I'm here and we are going to have fun today.
Yay. So welcome back to the Glowdown, everyone. And we have a few fun things coming up in the episode. We're going to talk about a custom foundation. We're going to talk about something that's really blowing up right now, cannabis in cosmetics.
Oh, yes.
And which Carlene happens to be, she's quite the source on these days. And we're going to talk to one of the biggest beauty podcasters in the game.
Emma Gunnar Wardner.
I had to let her say her name because I didn't want to mess it up. She has the Emma Gunn Show beauty podcast, and it's one of the top ones in iTunes. You guys have to check it out. And she's just the sweetest, really lucky to be able to chat with her. And you guys will hear from her later in the episode.
Right on. So why don't we start out by talking about the new custom foundation? It's a huge innovation in the beauty game, courtesy of Lancôme. It's called Lancôme Le Teint Particulier. And I wasn't able to go to the launch event, but you were. So why don't you fill us in?
Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to get my shade mixed yet, but it's exclusive to Nordstrom. And it's only two locations in Canada right now. It's at the Nordstrom at the Eaton Centre in Toronto, the Nordstrom at Yorkdale in Toronto. I assume it will be expanding to other locations as well. But
right. And it did launch in the US, I think it was last summer.
Yeah.
And UK, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So it's rolling out. People are very excited about it.
Yeah.
There are 72,000 different possibilities.
Wow. Beat that, Fenty.
Right? So I was like, I don't understand. What is 72,000 options? So the woman who is the trainer at the event literally wrote it down on a piece of paper, which I'm reading off of right now.
Yeah.
And she said there's 8,000 different skin tones.
Okay.
And there's three different skin types. Okay. So 8,000 times three, 24,000.
Right.
Times three different types of coverage or finishes. So you get to choose your finish.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So 72,000 possibilities, which is pretty crazy. Okay. So I did the math there.
But they're saying 8,000 shades. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because most foundation lines, like again, Fenty was, you know,
groundbreaking at 40.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had seen that before in other lines, I think, a little bit in the past. But what was cool about that, if you just rewinding to a previous Glowdown when we talked to Victoria De Placido at Elle Canada, and she told us about how Sephora IQ was used to create those shades. So women were scanning their skin tone and plugging it into a computer, trying to find the nearest shade match in store. And these were specifically the shades that were most requested, but had the hardest time finding a match.
Yeah, and they were filling the gaps.
Exactly, which I think was absolutely genius. And that's why we're comparing it, because why don't you tell us about how the actual technology works?
Yeah, so still love Rihanna. That's great. And you can still go in and get your shade off the shelf. But in the United States, they're having women drive for 5-6 hours to get to a Nordstrom.
Insano.
So they can finally, if your number one thing is getting the perfect shade and you've never been able to get it, this is for you.
Right.
And there's a lot of hard to fit colors out there that are just not represented in the marketplace for a number of different reasons, sadly. So I think this is really going to be exciting.
Yeah.
So basically what you do is you sit down, and it's all tied into this technology that was developed by a California company called Sukiyaki. It's like S-A-Y-U-K-I.
Okay.
And they were acquired by L'Oreal, I believe, in 2014. So it was developed in California, and when you sit down in the chair, they test your skin with the skin scanner that's exclusive to Lancome.
And you have to take off your makeup.
Yeah,
right?
You have to take off your makeup. So go on a Saturday when you don't have any meetings afterwards. And in fact, at the event, there was like 8 or 10 editors there, and they wanted to make someone shade on the spot, and nobody would volunteer because everyone wanted to like go to their lunch afterwards or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm hideous. I can't. I can't. Like,
oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah,
actually,
I know. Well, I didn't volunteer either. Mostly, I didn't want to have my face like on a boomerang with like getting scanned, because everything's documented, as we know these days.
Yeah.
But the girl who did get it done, Carolyn, she is one of the PR reps for Lancome. She gets her skin scanned in 3 places. So she chose the forehead, chose the cheek, and then chose the neck area.
Uh-huh.
And based on those 3, it spits out a result into a computer and iPad. And she had like an analysis on this iPad of her skin breakdown. It was so cool, where if she was cooler, she was warmer. She had like X number percentage of red undertones versus neutral yellow undertones or blue undertones.
It reminds me of like when you're choosing colors for like a palette in RGB or CMYK and you see like the actual figures per, you know, color tone.
Because you just don't think of color broken down into a statistical formulation like that.
Yeah.
And it was like very statistical data. It was data-driven color.
Right.
And so then they picked the shade that it would be. He plugged in the information into the computer, and it's just like science fiction. You know, the bottle goes in.
Yeah.
They pour the moisturizing ingredients into it.
Yeah.
And I should also mention, she was able to say, I want sheer coverage foundation.
Right.
So you pick the color, you get your color, and then you choose. I want it to be a bit more moisturizing. I want it to be a bit more sheer coverage.
Yeah.
If I was doing this and a recommendation out there, I would probably always choose full coverage, because then you have your color. And if you want to sheer it out, you can add a drop of moisturizer on your own.
Right.
Like, you'll be able to customize it at home. So got her color. And what I was also impressed about, because I was thinking, what if she gets it out and she doesn't like it? It's a whole bottle wasted. But they only mix up a little bit. It mixes you up a sample, kind of like a paint sample you would get at a store.
Yep.
And then she got it swatched on her skin. Lo and behold, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And then they make the rest of the bottle. And then there's a custom printed label you get to put on it.
Oh, cool.
And so you can put your social media handle and
or
anything.
So it gets mixed in some like blender looking thing?
It's kind of like when you go to Home Depot and you're getting a paint can mixed. It's like, how is this going to be a foundation?
Yeah.
They stick it in this basically like a spin cycle for foundation, and then afterwards it comes out and it's her perfect shade.
Yeah.
And then she printed the label.
Well, that's,
and
I mean,
stuck
I'm
it on
curious
there.
To know if it's going to come out as, because in theory you're like, okay, it's going to be a perfect match.
Yeah.
But then you have to remember that, what are those particular, what are the ingredients and what are they using to create those pigments? Because, you know, historically there have been issues with like pigments that end up looking kind of bluish or purplish in terms of the foundation.
Yeah.
So how far have they come along in terms of the actual pigment that's in the product? Mm-hmm. Can it match if the computer... I have no doubt that the computer can identify it to like the most accurate degree, but can they duplicate that in a foundation? So we're going to want to hear from you guys. And I know this has been in the States for a while. So if you have feedback, please let us know.
Yeah. And I did take a picture of the colors they said are in the machine. There's black, red, and yellow pigments.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, they can create all these different color combinations, including if you want, they said some people who are like rosacea sufferers, they want some green pigment. So that's like color correction, but it's a more subtle version of it. Okay. And based on those pigments that are in there, they're able to blend that. It's like so high tech. It's right. It's amazing.
It's next level. And I guess I'm assuming it must be very expensive technology, which is why it's so limited, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you want to make sure that this is done by a trained person so you get the exact result you want. And right. I think that's why they have it at such limited counters. The reviews that I've read online, everyone is obsessed with it. And yeah. I would say my point of view, I don't think it's that much. It's $110 and you have to make an appointment. You can't just saunter roll up to the counter and get it done. You have to call and make an appointment. It takes about 30 minutes. And $110, considering like when I buy my Armani Luminous Silk Foundation, that's nearly $70.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like that much more. And you probably would end up wanting to get a shade for summer and shade for winter. But right. I think
well,
it's really
all
cool.
All I can say is prescriptives must be rolling in their grave.
I know. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Ahead of their time.
Yeah. And just one more side note on that is if you do get your color, you would think it was stored in like a data bank where
absolutely.
You could then roll into any Nordstrom in North America and get it. The color match is stored in the computer at that store. So right. you have to go back in and get it. You can't just have your recipe
yeah, that
and
seems
order
odd,
it.
Right?
On.
Seems like you should be able to order it online.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Once it's stored in there.
But. Maybe they'll get to that point, but as it stands right now, it's proprietary and it sticks with the machine at that
right.
store, at your local store. And anyway, it's really cool. I'll let you guys know. I'll probably put it on our stories when I actually
yeah.
get to sit in the chair and get it done.
Well, speaking of future of beauty, our next topic is people often ask me what they think the next big trend in beauty is going to be.
Right.
And my answer of late is cannabis beauty.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I wrote a story about it earlier this year for The Coveter.
I told you before, I think you should literally write a book on this.
Well, it's possible. I'm starting to get a lot of information because you got to dig deep.
Yeah, you guys have to go back and read the story on The Coveter that Carlene wrote back in June. And this was, I think it was really before like Allure or anybody was writing about it. And you had interviewed, I was like, how many people did you interview? You might as well write a book at this point. There was like 10 people.
It's when I first went freelance. I went a little overboard.
She was a real keener.
I got lots of insights. But I was also,
it was amazing.
It was a struggle because I was like, I pitched this story.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, you know, I'll just call in all these samples. I'll test it all. Let them know what I think. Literally, that's how I pitched it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, turns out I can't get it over the border.
Yeah.
Because it's not legal here yet, duh.
A few little hiccups.
And so that was the biggest barrier. So I had to do a lot of running around. So I had to do a little backstreet digging to try samples. But there was a really cool event that happened this past week called Women in Weed. It was a seminar that was hosted by Tokyo Smoke.
Yeah.
And one of the people that I interviewed for The Coveter was here in town. So I had to sit down with her. Her name's April Pride. She's the founder and CCO for Vanderpop, which is a really cool modern lifestyle brand for cannabis culture.
Yeah, and Tokyo Smoke, to just go back to that, that's in Toronto. They have a couple of locations. It's a coffee shop, but also like a lifestyle design store. And they have a lot of these really cool cannabis culture items in
like pipes and bongs and little stash jars that are adorable and also fancy teas and coffees, but they really promote artists and it's designed really well by the same people, the design agency who did the Shangri-La in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And they're also expanding. They're opening a location in Hamilton and they're branching out into the U.S.
Yeah.
In Seattle will be their first location there.
So smart, which is where I believe April Pride is from.
Yes.
So who did you sit down with for the Women in Weed event?
So I sat down with Odessa Paloma Parker, and she is the former fashion editor at the Globe and Mail, who is now the head of content at Tokyo Smoke. And so I kind of spoke to her about what's happening with pot legalization in Canada. So it will be legal for recreational use as of July of next year.
And this is for consumption as well as topical, back to the beauty element.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So people are distilling cannabis and adding it to their own ointments and balms. And that's where there's some of this DIY beauty that's happening.
Yeah.
But we're going to hear directly from them about how this area is quickly growing. And I think it's going to fucking explode next year.
Yeah. Well, I really think it's cool that a high design place like Tokyo Smoke is getting in on the action, a far cry from when I was in college, you know, bong life in dorm rooms kind of thing. Like, I love that there's this new spin on it, and it makes women, I think it makes it a lot more appealing for women. And you were 100%. Saying that Vanderpop is almost like it's like a fashion company in a way.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, so one of the things that she creates are these amazing stash bags, okay. and the style of, they're like leather made in Italy. They look like Mensa or Gabrielle. They're so streamlined.
Yeah.
And they have a lock and three-digit combination to it. So it keeps it safe from animals and children.
Right.
And also keeps the aroma in, which Got is a it. Big issue depending on where you're toting it around.
Right.
Has these like lovely little stash jars that are black lacquer. They're like beautiful. And she also has a line of hemp self-care items that are like balms and face creams and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're really super, super chic. And I'm going to queue up Odessa Paloma Parker right now. She's going to talk about where she thinks the whole beauty component to the cannabis trend is headed in the next few years.
I think we're going to see a lot more from the cosmetic angle. I mean, I don't know how important it is, you know, to necessarily have like an eyeshadow infused with THC, but, you know, certainly I think as more and more people are becoming aware, we're going to see more sheet masks, cream masks, like those kinds of things, more body oils enriched with those infusions. And certainly, like I said, for something like mascara, like it never would have occurred to me, but it makes total sense when you think about like the moisturizing properties of cannabis. And I mean, CBD is definitely something, I have psoriasis myself, so it's something that I'm very interested in learning more about in terms of treating it. Because, and, you know, it's something that didn't really occur to me until I was like, oh, look at all these topicals that are available now and tinctures and stuff. So it's something I personally would really like to explore. I think what people would sort of assume right away if you were to talk to them about, like, self-care and cannabis is that it's like, you know, smoking a doob before you do your, like, evening bath or whatever, which it certainly is. But, you know, it can also be an infused bath bomb. It can be the skincare products that you use. There are so many amazing properties within cannabis that can apply to all the things that more traditional cosmetics, for example, are addressing. And then it's going to go into cosmetics too. Like there are already mascaras and lip glosses and other products that are being infused with CBD and hemp, as you said.
So one of the things that Odessa touches on there is CBD balms that are being used to treat psoriasis, eczema, dermatitis, because it helps to reduce the inflammation. That's one of the things that I learned when I wrote the story and I spoke to a dermatologist who was out of BC. And actually, it's funny because what you didn't hear there is I was talking to April Pride, who is a mother. She has two kids. And I had shared with her that my son has eczema. And I said, you know, but I'm not sure, like, should I be using it on him? Is it really safe? And I said, what would you do? And she said, you know, she's done enough research in the field.
Yeah.
She knows that it is safe. And yes, she would. It just never would have occurred to me to try it
Got
on
it.
My child.
Got
but then
it.
When I was talking to April and realizing that she was a mom,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, I'm
going to
ask her what she would do.
Interesting. But I'm still confused. Like the CBD, first of all, let's let everyone know exactly what that stands for. And then the THC element of weed too and how that's going to be incorporated. Like right. I don't really understand.
That's a common question.
Yeah.
So there's cannabinoids.
Yeah.
There's THC, which I forget what that's short for.
Yeah.
And then there's hemp.
Yeah.
And those are sort of three different components. People do get confused about that. So I put the question to April.
Okay, good.
And we're about to hear how she distinguishes between the three in this clip ahead.
Hemp seed oil, which are self-care products, is that's the basis of the formulations. Hemp seed oil is called nature's most perfect oil in that it most closely mimics our lipids. And so the skin drinks it in as if it were part of its natural ecosystem, right? So longer lasting moisture, which is why it's great for lips. In simplified terms, THC, that's the psychoactive cannabinoid, and that affects your brain. CBD is your body connective tissue. So you're not going to get high. Anything extracted from the hemp plant, you're not going to get high.
Hey, Jill, are you ready for cannabis mascara?
Curling cannabis mascara? Can't you hear it now? But seriously, when do we get to try all this? I know I keep asking you, but it's next year.
Yeah, well, yes. And these are the brands that will be carried at dispensaries.
I see.
We'll have to see, right? Yeah.
Well, Shoppers Drug Mart, I think, they're trying to be able to be a dispensary also. So maybe you will see these products at Shoppers.
Oh, 100%. And yeah. I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing lines that are coming from the cannabis industry, okay? So people who are already involved in it, primarily women, are coming up with these beauty products. So where this will evolve, I think, is, again, will you see like the Body Shop that's been doing hemp on a rope for, you know, since the 90s? Are they all of a sudden going to get on the CBD train? Yeah. That's what I think is fascinating.
Yeah, those more natural brands that like our friends at the Detox Market carry, there's so many great ones.
Yeah.
No doubt there's something going on behind the scenes.
It would be such a natural evolution for them to be working on this as well. And I have talked to some all natural brands, the founders, and asked them if they're looking into it. And they definitely are.
I think there's probably a movement in kitchens all across this city and all across Canada of people cooking up their own stuff. And as soon as it's legal, we're going to see it out there.
Well, that's what I think. I think it's all happening behind the scenes and waiting in the wings. Yeah. And I think there may be some surprises
absolutely.
About where it's coming
and if
from.
You guys want more info, you can check Carlene's story for the Covetura. We'll link to it from our blog on breakingbeauty.ca.
And if you are a U.S. listener who has been using products like Marley Naturals, Whoopi and Maya, Lord Jones, which I know celebrities like Olivia Munn and Jessica Seinfeld have Instagrammed about, let us know. What do you think about it? What are your findings? We really want to hear from you. So now we're going to move on to another fun topic, which is fellow beauty podcaster Emma Gunns.
Yeah. So we last Glowdown episode, we had the good fortune of talking to Lindsay Kelk and Harriet Hadfield from Full Coverage Podcast. So we want to keep that going. And now we're dedicating some time in this episode to talk to Emma Gunns from The Emma Gunns Show. And I teased it before, but she's one of the OG beauty podcasters. She's based in the UK. Mm-hmm. Really amazing person and former beauty print editors like ourselves, who is taking her storytelling to the podcast space.
Yeah. So she was a beauty writer at OK Magazine for 10 years. She's written for the Sunday Times, the Telegraph, Red Magazine. But if there's one way that I can sort of distinguish her amongst the beauty podcasters that I know is Emma is a beauty editor with heart.
Yeah.
And that's how she approaches all of her topics, all of her subjects. You're definitely getting more of like an emotional tie-in and connection there.
Yeah. And in fact, when she first started, she had her show was called the Beauty Podcast, but it has since evolved to become the Emma Gunns Show because she's delving into anxiety and mindfulness and talking to amazing YouTubers, but also she's very inclusive in who she's talking to and really broadening her definition of beauty and wellness.
She's formed really deep connections with her fans. I've seen reviews and,
you know,
messages that she's she gets sent on Instagram, and it's really cool.
Yeah, so we're going to queue up our first topic of conversation with her, which was when we found out she worked at a celebrity weekly in the UK. We absolutely had to get the scoop on that. When she was working at OK Magazine, we wanted to get the scoop on who she encountered and some of the crazy events that she went to.
So I did the fashion and beauty pages, predominantly beauty to begin with, and then I absorbed the fashion a bit later on. But I also did celebrity interviews, which was very interesting. Obviously, I got to meet lots of lots of people, and just, you know, one of my first things that I was asked to do, because when you're new on a magazine like that, and obviously you're not hugely experienced, you don't get thrust in front of celebrity royalty very quickly. You know, they obviously like to see how you might act and whether you will pose any mild threat to said superstar. And I was asked within, what would it have been, a couple of months of starting, whether I would be available to take the names on the door at Elton John's white tie and tiara party. because editors always went inside, and obviously they wrote these huge features. It was, you know, it's an incredible event. So I was like, sure, you know, young, enthusiastic, thinking this would be amazing.
Like, I looked good with a clipboard.
I know. I had literally had a clipboard, and I went out the lunchtime of the event and I bought a dress for £10 on the sale rack in a high street shop that didn't really fit properly. And it had a keyhole in the chest and you could see my bra, but it was just like, I've got to look. I didn't really know anything. This is how young and naive I was. And I went and I was just very polite and said, excuse me, would you mind having your picture taken against this wall? Thank you so much. It's so, oh gosh, such pleasure to meet you. And I did that for a few hours essentially. But it was as if I had walked into Madame Tussauds and everybody was moving around and was living and breathing. I genuinely think my entire brain couldn't compute any of it. Because I remember seeing Elizabeth Hurley and seeing Hugh Grant, and Simon Cowell walked in and Barry Manilow was there, and they were like, you never text, you never call, and there was like banter going on, and I was like, what is going on? This is amazing. My parents have a framed picture of me with Elton in the living room at my family home.
I sure wish I had a picture of me and Elton John in my parents' house. The best that I have is like a framed picture of me that's like 14 by 20 or something that like a beauty brand sent. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? Mom. Now it's like above her fireplace.
I actually have, I think my mom has something like that of me too. It was like some photo session or something. And it's way too giant. It's like a headshot. And I look like I have a comb over. It's not going anywhere.
Anyway, so the thing is that because she had this celebrity background, she's now able to parlay some of that into her podcast. So she's had Elizabeth Hurley on the podcast recently. That was through Estee Lauder because of the breast cancer awareness.
Yep.
She's also had Michelle Visage, who's one of the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, and co-host of What's the Tea, which
is another podcast. So she's getting access, which is amazing. And
she's a huge reality TV fan like me. I've noticed Emma's tweeting all the time about like Real Housewives and all kinds of different like celeb gossip, which I'm
never got into that. But I know we when we chatted about this, you guys were like off and running. I'm like, guys, come back.
We bonded over that for sure. If anybody watches any of the Real Housewives franchises, you know that they all start with a tagline. So like Eileen Davidson, who's on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she's an actress on Days of Our Lives, and hers is like, I may not be a bitch, but I play one on TV. So they're always like these dramatic sound bites and bites. So we asked Emma what hers would be.
So my Real House, so I have green eyes. And I did this when I had Nadine Bagot on the show. We did this, but I didn't say this one because I can't remember why. It came to me afterwards, I'm sure. But mine would be, my eyes may be green, but you won't see them unless you cross. No, hang on. My eyes may be green, but I'm not a monster unless you cross me. We can talk about this because actually Lena Dunham has been liking my tweets about Real Housewives of Auckland recently.
I can only hope that one day there'll be a Real Housewives of London. I mean, it's got to be in the works at some point. Got to check in with Emma on that. But one of the reasons I think she has a huge following is she's not afraid to put herself out there. She is not afraid to be vulnerable on really any platform. And I think that's what ultimately makes people connect with her a lot.
100%. I really like the hashtag Red Dread project that she started on Instagram and on her site, on her blog, where she really just challenged herself to, you know, play with a bunch of different red lipsticks, find the one that was right before for her, because she didn't have that same experience that so many other women had. Like, I put on a red lipstick and I feel like a rock star. So she was really set out to kind of overcome that fear and find the one that was the perfect one for her, you know, the holy grail of red lipsticks. So let's hear what Emma had to say about that.
The reason I started Red Dread wasn't to start any sort of campaign or because I was looking to, it wasn't a tactic. Truthfully, every time I have interviewed a makeup artist or celebrity, and they say, oh, you know what? You just put on red lipstick and it just transforms your face. And I'm like, no, actually, I look like a complete moron when I wear lipstick and red lipstick. And I spend the entire day worrying that it's bleeding. So what is the secret that these supermodels have access to that I heretofore have not been able to share. It kind of almost got me a bit riled up. And I interviewed Helena Christiansen for Red Magazine in London. And she said, I was like, what are your beauty essentials? And she was like, just a red lipstick or some mascara. And I was like, can we just go back to the red lipstick thing again? And she said, you know, just, and I said, without makeup? She was like, yeah, of course. And I just sort of scratched my head and went home that night and thought, I just don't get it. And I didn't, it sounds really arrogant, but I didn't like the idea of people being in on a secret that I knew nothing about. So I went through my underbed storage or my in-bed storage and essentially just filtered out all of the red lipsticks I could find, which, having been a beauty editor 15 years, there were about 70, like good, like highly pigmented red lipsticks, lots of different textures, etc. The first post actually was just the lipsticks laid out on the floor, just saying, people keep saying this to me, red lipstick is this thing, and I want a piece of that action. And it just sort of went from there. And that was the initial thing. But then I realized actually on the first day that I left the house in red lipstick, it had nothing to do with being able to wear red lipstick. It had to do with confidence. I.e., it didn't have anything to do with whether it suited your skin tone or whether it went with your outfit. It had to do with whether you had the balls to carry it off. And so, because I've worn cool red, I've worn orange red, I've worn blue tone red. And you, if you make a few tweaks with your base and everything, you can pull pretty much anything off. The takeaway was something that actually ties in, well, not the main takeaway. I was heckled in the street during one of the days of Red Dread by a man. He was on his bike and he rode past me, and I was wearing a very bright, one of the new Bourjois lipsticks, which are really nice. And it was a bright red, and he yelled at me in the street, "Your lipstick's too bright." But it took me back to teenager with big boobs who suddenly needed to cover up. I suddenly felt, oh my God, I've invited somebody to abuse me. So that was one of the things and where the confidence comes into it. But obviously I'm a 39-year-old woman, so I wasn't as rattled as I would have been in my teens. But the main take, my favorite one, one of them was Chanel Rouge Allure. I think it's a velvet matte, and it's actually the one that Helena Christiansen loved, which is La Fascinante. Forgive me if my French accent's not that great. And one of the Bourjois ones were also excellent. And there was also recently the Bobbi Brown Art Stick in Harlow Red. I really like.
I really love that Red Dread example. And we'll link to it from our website at breakingbeauty.ca if you guys want to check it out. But it's just a prime example of how she goes deeper. It's not just about swatches. It's about how something makes you feel. But on the topic of products, next we asked Emma, is there something she splurged on that she felt was really worth it? And you're going to hear all about that next.
I splurged on some Tilbury, but I feel like that's such a predictable answer. I bought an eyeshadow palette, and I think Goddess something, I think.
Okay. Of course it's called Goddess.
Of course. It's called Goddess. Yeah, I've just described every eyeshadow palette. And I also bought one of the eye pencils in the purple one. I've forgotten the name of it now. Like, I wouldn't necessarily, I'm not drawn to really expensive stuff. I'm really drawn towards things that work. And you and I both know that a lot of the time, some of what you pay for is packaging and branding and marketing. And, you know, if there's a face of a campaign, they've paid a Hollywood star to be the face of a cream. Some of that budget, some of that money comes out of the money that you spend on that pot. And I would rather just have something really simple. You can only ever have one beauty product ever again. I wouldn't be like, right, well, then I want a lifetime supply of Crème de la Mer or Lancôme Genifique or one of these things. I would want some big pots of Astral because that stuff makes my skin feel really nice.
I don't know what that is.
We're looking at it. We literally just looked at each other. Did she just say asshole? What did she
yes.
say?
I said Astral.
You don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is. Do tell.
Okay, so Astral, A-S-T-R-A-L, is, you guys have Nivea, obviously. So it's a bit like Nivea Soft. So it's just a very simple oil-water emulsion.
Uh-huh.
Honestly,
kind
for
like
me,
a cold cream?
I wouldn't even say it's a cold cream. I'm sort of looking around me because I did have one in my office a while ago, but it's probably now on my bedside table. It gives me the same kind of feeling that I get when I've used Creme de la Mer, the original creme. Hmm.
I can completely relate. That's how I feel. I'm not necessarily about the newest, latest, buzziest products. I'm more about just the edit. What is really good? That's all I really give a shit about. Yeah. Although I will say that I do have a penchant for expensive products.
Yeah,
I can't
you do.
Help it.
What was the last one you bought?
No, I haven't bought anything in a while, but when I get them in, I'm just like, you know, I could use this drugstore product or I could use this Tata Harper $100 eye cream. And I'm just like,
I think the last Tata Harper one that I got was $375 Canadian dollars.
Wow, that's rich.
Yeah, no. It's like that stuff I don't even want to touch or try because if you like it, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because then you're buying it.
But I mean, I've definitely tried some expensive products that are not great too.
Yeah,
I'm
for
not,
sure.
You know, and I've tried some drugstore products that are great, but that's a whole separate conversation.
Yes, we're
going
to get back
into
that.
Okay, hold up. Guys, we have to interrupt this program. Late breaking news coming in on the Fenty feed on Instagram.
Yeah, we've got dropping on November 23rd, the one bold shade of red for us all called the Stunna Lip Paint.
Yeah, and hashtag is one red for all.
Oh, I like this. So it's basically, it kind of looks like almost like a nail polish bottle, those retro ones from the 70s. And it's, you can see it, there's not a lot of... You got to zoom in on this one, which I'm doing right now, and
it's
kind
giving
of,
me the Christian Louboutin vibes.
Yeah,
the nail lacquers that were with like the really tall handle,
the really long handle that you'll feel like super chic pulling out of your bag. It kind of looks like it has a watery texture a little bit, like a lip paint. So it's going to be like a lip stain.
So interesting.
And we were talking about this how she didn't launch any real lip colors with her launch except for Gloss Bomb.
Skin complexion first.
So this will be flying off the shelves. This looks like it's meant for everyone's stocking.
How crazy is this that we were just talking about red lipstick and this just came up?
Yeah.
And it's all about Instagram listening, guys. And Fenty's probably listening too.
They're spying
via
on our
Siri.
Yeah, I'm like looking around here. Are there any cameras in this room? But really, really stoked to try this. Thank you, Riri. You know, speaking of what's good and great storytelling, Emma got into doing her podcast because of her love of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't let her go without asking her some of her favorites that keep her company on her commute.
So my favorite podcast, RuPaul and Michelle Visage, What's the Tea? I think I probably didn't need to say that one, but I will say it again because maybe they'll hear it and become my friends. I love the Nerdist podcast, which is hosted by Chris Hardwick.
Yeah,
I think he does excellent interviews. He just does excellent, excellent interviews. And Daniel Craig, when he was doing promotion for Spectre, the last Bond film, he's not the easiest interview. And you can see in some TV interviews, he's not into it. On that one, he was golden. Like, it was actually the best Daniel Craig interview I've ever heard. And I'm a massive film geek as well. I love movies. So one of my other ones is Kermode and Mayo's Film Review, which is a BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. That's excellent. I recommend that to anybody who loves films. And they get fantastic interviews out of filmmakers and actors and the like. Have you guys heard of Desert Island Discs?
No.
Oh, Desert Island Discs is a long-running radio show in the UK, and it's hosted by a woman called Kirsty Young. And every week she gets on a guest and asks them to tell her what their favourite, I think it's either 7 or 8, songs are and why. And it is the most incredible way of gaining insight into somebody's life and what makes them tick. It's absolutely incredible. I highly, highly recommend it to anybody. Have you guys heard of My Dad Wrote a Porno?
Yeah, it's so funny.
I have Alice Levine. I don't know Alice, but we have mutual friends. So I kind of got into it really early, which was amazing. The Empire Film Podcast is excellent. Empire Magazine, the film magazine, which is edited by Terry White, who has been on my show, who is all sorts of awesome. That is great. Fat Man on Batman by the director Kevin Smith and his co-host Mark Bernardin. I love Kevin Smith. Okay. I love his movies. He also, I don't know if you know this, but
Canadian.
He he's just recently said that he's going to donate all of the, is it royalties or whatever it is, from all of his movies that were made with Miramax to women's charities after the revelations came out about Weinstein.
Smart.
We love him. And he apparently got very emotional on a podcast saying, you know, he talked about it and he was just like, I have to do something. Anna Faris is unqualified, brings me pure joy. I love her.
Yeah.
And I
she's
think we should be friends again. Did you see Scoot with Heather McDonald is my guilty pleasure?
Okay.
That's about Real Housewives. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, she's mates with Tamra Judge and Shannon Bedore from Real Housewives of OC.
Amazing.
You are
Real Housewives. It all comes back to it.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, I know you're on when you're on deadline. We really appreciate
it. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you for giving me time and the platform. And obviously we're best friends now.
Beauty BFFs.
Definitely. Lots of love.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit breakingbeauty.ca to sign up for our newsletter, and every episode will be delivered direct to your inbox so you won't miss a single thing.
And be sure to subscribe to us. There's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And if you're up for it, show your love by writing a review in iTunes.